Angriffslustig. IT-Sicherheit für dein Unternehmen. Der Security-Podcast der GoSecurity.
Vertrau nicht blind deinem Antivirenprogramm.
Und das erleben wir ja tatsächlich noch.
Mit Andreas Wiesler und Sandro Müller.
Datensicherung ist die Lebensversicherung eines Unternehmens.
Wir haben noch so viele Themen.
Sandro und Andreas sind die IT-Sicherheitsexperten in der Schweiz. Mit ihrer Firma GoSecurity sind sie die Firewall für zig Unternehmen. Seit über 20 Jahren schon.
Bereit für ein neues Update?
Herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Ausgabe Angriffslustig. Heute ausnahmsweise mal in einer anderen Sprache, nämlich in Englisch. Und gleich mit zwei Gästen. Und zwar heiße ich Bettina Schneider und Franka Ebay. Herzlich willkommen. Ja, let's switch to English. Thank you for your time. It's a very interesting topic. Yeah, before we start, please introduce yourself, Bettina.
Yes. Hello, Andreas, and thank you very much for hosting us. I'm Bettina Schneider, working for the University of Applied Sciences and Arts Northwestern Switzerland, the School of Business. We are located in the offices in Basel, working for the Institute of Information Systems. We have so-called competence centers as research focus, and we work on the topic of digital trust. One essential pillar is cybersecurity, and this is why we are here in Europe.
Yeah, perfect. And you, Franka.
So thank you for having us. So I'm Franka Ebay, as you said. I'm research assistant at the University of Applied Sciences, Northwestern Switzerland. And we are the, as Bettina said, we are the competence center digital trust. And besides my work there, I'm also an entrepreneur. I founded an entrepreneurship academy, which is an association in Bern. And then I also do an independent consultancy, which is about connecting Swiss companies here to African regions like Cameroon.
Oh, sounds very nice. Yeah. Maybe we can talk to this later. Yes. It also sounds very great. Yeah, you research something. What's the topic for this research?
Yes, so our research team, that I'm leading, has this strong focus on making the world, or the vision to make the world safer, or the digital space safer and more trustworthy. So, and from a school of business, we want for sure also to have organizational processes more safe, but we were also clear the human is a very essential element. And as we are already a very diverse team in our research competence center, we also saw, yes, our cultural background is shaping our behavior also in the cyberspace. And we are convinced that the human is a strong defense for cybersecurity. And so we wanted to investigate into that a bit more.
Okay. Sounds also great. You know, this is a podcast for small business companies. So let's get straight to the point. Why is this topic relevant for small companies in practice? In other words, why should the listeners of this podcast spend the next 10 to 15 minutes with us?
Yeah, let me take that question, Andreas, and then I will definitely give over the word to Franka. So that's actually also something that I had in mind when asking you to host us. Yeah, but as we see it, especially Switzerland is such an internationalized country, and it's really also for smaller and medium-sized companies that the teams are very diverse. And especially in cybersecurity, I was also in a conference some weeks ago. They said it's essential that we are diverse, so to have different perspectives. And as we said here, the culture is then really a decisive factor for shaping our behavior. And then this should also be something that the small and medium-sized enterprises should take into consideration. Yes, my team might also come from different countries. It's very diverse. Mm-hmm. And it might not be that straightforward that we give a cybersecurity policy or a certain measure and think this works for all of us, that we all understand or perceive it in a certain way, but we might be different. For sure, every individual person is different, but we come from different backgrounds, and this is sometimes omitted, and especially easy to omit it in a technical fields like cybersecurity. And just thinking of our own team, we are a bit more than 10 people now, 12 or something, coming from, I have taken up again, from 5 different countries and 3 different continents. And so here it's really especially relevant so to discuss also the cybersecurity aspect, cybersecurity measures, policies, to gain a common understanding.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me more about this research?
So as Bettina mentioned, we are increasingly interested in the human aspect of cybersecurity. And as humans, we are all born into a culture. So we, together with a partner in Cameroon, the Biaka University Institute of Boya, we went on to look at what are the cultural factors that influence human cybersecurity behavior. And before going into this research, we noticed that there was limited research when it comes to relating national culture to individual cybersecurity behavior. There was also limited research on implicit organizational culture and human cybersecurity behavior. And most essentially was, what are the guidelines to introduce these cultural elements in cybersecurity education or training programs in general?
Mm-hmm.
With these gaps that we identified, we then defined our objectives, research objectives, so to investigate the role of national culture in human cybersecurity behavior, taking into consideration Switzerland and Cameroon. Mm-hmm. And we took these two countries because of our research partner in Cameroon and then our university being in Switzerland. And then the second objective was to go about looking at the role of organizational culture in human cybersecurity behavior, still in both countries.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, how can we integrate this, our identified cultural elements in cybersecurity training programs? And we then interviewed research participants, which included cybersecurity professionals, experts, educators in the field in both countries, and organized focus groups with students, IT students, engineering students, and students from other backgrounds like nursing students, education students in Switzerland and also in Cameroon. So that's actually the main process. And what is also important to highlight is we emphasize on the cultural dimensions, which actually helped us to draw conclusions on what are the cultural elements that influence human cybersecurity behavior. So that's a summary of what we did.
For me, Cameroon is an unknown country for me. Can you tell me more about the situation there? I read something that you use the phone to pay everything. You pay with call minutes and other things. The micropayment is very common there. But also, what is the situation with computers? Are there many computers? Maybe you can tell me more.
Cameroon is increasingly becoming digitalized. So one thing that may be interesting for you will be the mobile money that is very common in Cameroon.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like Twint, which uses internet. It's more of text money. So you can send money through your phones. It's very common for small regions in Cameroon for mobile money to. For people to go about transactions, money transactions. What is also peculiar about Cameroon, maybe you know, we are bilingual, so English and French is our official languages. However, Cameroon has over 100 different languages, and these are not dialects because each of these languages are different from one another. So we're talking about Bayangi, Iwundo, Douala, Bassa, just to name a few. So what is special about us again? Food. Food brings people together. So Cameroon is one country we are very proud of that you can eat a different food every day for 100 days. So we're very proud. And going from north, south, east, west, we are very diversified in terms of food, in terms of cultures, so and in terms of tribes as well.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything particular you want to know that?
No, it's okay. Thank you. Yeah, and the security awareness, are there some trainings there, or is it at school you learn something about security?
So while cybersecurity is not very strong in Cameroon, there is IT. So there are IT programs in private universities and also in public universities.
Mm.
Of course, now with cybersecurity becoming a topic not only for developed countries but also for developing countries like Cameroon, then schools like even Biaka University Institute of Boya are becoming interested in the cybersecurity. Mm. And also, there is a gap here since there is a shortage of cybersecurity professionals. So markets like in Cameroon or regions in Africa can also provide these cybersecurity professionals in the future. And maybe later on we're going to talk about what we are doing with our Swiss Africa cybersecurity community, where there's not only Cameroon, but there are other African partners in this community, right? Which points to the interest that African partners have in cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me more about this project, this influence of the culture of this UN behavior? Mm-hmm. What are the results?
Okay. Yes. So we got some very interesting results. So we found the national cultural elements that influence cybersecurity human behavior in Cameroon and in Switzerland. And we also have organizational cultural elements that influence human cybersecurity behavior in both sites. So what we did, we put together all of our findings and linked them to Hofstede cultural dimensions. And then we drew three conclusions of cultural elements that influence cybersecurity human behavior. So the first factor we got was power distance. Mm-hmm. So power distance refers to how do people in a given society relate to authority, right? And here we heard that in high power distance countries, people in lower positions have a tendency to depend on their leaders. So in this kind of societies, there's definitely a need for the leader to take a front seat in defining cybersecurity policies and also ensuring that they are being followed. While in low power distance societies, the need for consensus may slow down decision making, including in the field of cybersecurity. Mm. However, it's very important whether it's a high power distance country or a low power distance country, cybersecurity policies ought to be defined, ought to be established in order to influence positive cybersecurity behavior. The second finding is individualism and collectivism. So yeah, individualism, this is how do I relate to myself? Am I an I person or are we from an I culture? So for example, in Switzerland, yeah, I culture. So we saw that in such societies, people tend to prioritize privacy. So they know the importance of keeping their digital identity very safe. So this tends to lead to positive cybersecurity mm-hmm. behavior. However, when there is the prioritization of individual needs above their community needs. So for example, not sharing your experience to cyber attacks with others, this may actually lead to a negative cybersecurity culture that undermines the importance of a cybersecurity culture. For collectivist societies, the tendency to share information with one another, which is very common in such societies, may lead to a protection for everybody against cyber attacks. However, what the negative side on such societies is the tendency to trust too much, right? So it's very common in Cameroon people to trust one another so easily. And because you trust without questioning, you may actually expose the entire group to the dangers of cyber attacks. Mm-hmm. And the last cultural element that we highlighted in our study is uncertainty avoidance. So uncertainty avoidance refers to how do people react to the unknown. Do they shy away from the unknown? Do they totally shun the unknown? Or do they actually question the unknown to find out how it impacts us? So here we said if people tend to question the unknown to really see if it is good or not before shying away from it, this leads to positive cybersecurity behavior. But when people actually turn away from the unknown, they shut it out, whether it's digitally safe measures or introduction of new technologies, that they just shy away from it without actually accepting or questioning it, this may lead to a negative cybersecurity behavior or even expose these people to the dangers of cyber attacks. What is important to draw that despite we got a lot of good findings, so there is a lot of research or a lot of literature that supports what we found, but we are very open to further research and mm-hmm. using maybe quantitative aspects to support what we found to test whether our findings can be validated again in another research. And besides Hofstede cultural dimensions, it's not the most recent of cultural theories, even though it has been widely quoted in so many cultural studies and organizational studies. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Was there a surprise in your study that you said, maybe funny or very special between the countries Switzerland and Cameroon?
Okay, I've been in Switzerland. So I know both sides. So I've been here for almost 9 years now. Mm-hmm. And I've been in Cameroon for the first 19 years of my life was in Cameroon, then 9 years now. Maybe not for me, but for the other people, for my other colleagues in Cameroon, they might have, it was surprising for them how more talked this topic is here, right, rather than in Cameroon, where in organizations, even when we were talking to some IT companies, they still said, okay, we do not have a defined cybersecurity policy. So, or it depends again on the leaders. It still depends. If the founder of the company is not talking about cybersecurity, the employees don't take it seriously, but this is an IT company. Mm-hmm. And when we, okay, maybe also for me, when we went to a public university to interview one of the CTOs there, he said the same thing, but this was actually the CTO in a public university, so this kind of topic is not still very strong again, mm-hmm. right? So, but at least the fact that Biaka was open to working with us and they are also very open to collaborating in the future shows how important they see such a topic and they are willing to embrace it.
Mm-hmm. And he has discussed before, money is one big thing in Cameroon, and how big is the cyber risk in Cameroon? Did you find something about this in your research?
Okay, I mean, there's actually a study of what do countries in African regions consider as top risks, right? And actually in Cameroon, I think cybersecurity is not amongst the first five factors, no. Not because there isn't, but because this topic is not heavily being discussed. But when it comes to Nigeria or South Africa, you see that. However, I think there are examples that it doesn't come immediately to my mind where the banks have been attacked. One of our partners, Dr. Carson, actually mentioned one example of a bank that was exposed to cyber attack. So there is actually risk. And there is also an increasing rate of cyber scams as well, mm-hmm. in some regions in Cameroon. So people are more or less aware of this. And even with the usage of mobile money, so there is this exposure of people's accounts because it's not protected, right? Mm-hmm. Like you can immediately see what somebody has in their account and how much they have in their account. So these kind of things are also these kind of things expose people to cyber attacks. Even though it's in that study, it's not highlighted as first five factors, but we know there is there are risks to cyber scams.
And the government, your results, does the government knows about this? Are there any plans that the government helps the people there?
Well, yeah, in Cameroon there is a national agency for cybersecurity.
Okay.
The name
of
there is, and I have my Cameroon SIM here. Mm-hmm. So from time to time, I receive messages from this national agency. So beware, don't click on this. So they are. I see that when it comes to the education of cybersecurity education, they are doing something right now. And you see that I'm in Switzerland, but I still receive these messages with my SIM, right? Mm-hmm. So they are doing this. And the fact that there is a university in the southwest region in Cameroon, It's Calic University. In Calic University Institute of Boya, something like that. They also have a cybersecurity program. While we have not yet collaborated with them, but the fact that these programs exist, it means that there is a need for, they mm-hmm. see the need to educate people when it comes to cybersecurity. But I must highlight that in this National Agency for Cybersecurity, they are also doing, they are increasing their efforts, right? And they have a website, which we also use some of the information for our research. And this shows that the government is doing something to at least spread the awareness to cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, in Switzerland, with the results, what are the plans now?
Yes, so we were able to do that research based on some funding. So we have from Movizia some support to also for sure to spread that and mm-hmm. to make it broader accessible. So we have this Swiss Africa Cybersecurity Community. it's a research project, let's call it so, but it's it's really very applied. So we start with 10 organizations, 5 from Africa and 5 from Switzerland, where we just said, okay, it's good to have some theoretical results, but the high experience comes if you really collaborate and get in touch with each other. And so it's a very open platform. We can also put the link into the notes.
Yes, please.
It's more or less on a website that we want to establish a community or have established a community where we bring what we have and we share and we also take and some information from each other. And we already experience, that's really good, some growth that more organizations are approaching us and said we want to become a member. We just, what we do, we offer workshops on topics that are very recent to us. For example, today there was one online workshop, 1 hour on cyber resilience. Mm-hmm. What are the priorities in certain African countries? And I could see they really have very similar pains. Yeah? And that we really see it's a global issue, and we can really make more out of it if we team up. And so at the moment, we also have to state it's really more the universities that are part of that community, but generally are very open. Yeah, we wanted to start here and say, okay, we build a place for building up capabilities, sharing know-how, starting some joint research. But we have plans to really sustain also after this project funding, which lasts until 2026. Mm-hmm. And then we want to sustain and also see how we can grow our community in order to just not to create effort or additional information, which is really already enough on the market, I know, but to really bring people into contact, and that we in Switzerland, I think we really benefit also from looking beyond, yeah, mm-hmm. get out of our comfort zone and see it's not only about Europe, but the world is so large, and Africa is a massive continent. Mm-hmm. We so underestimate. And I can only say, besides the cybersecurity topic, I personally think you also said you don't know much about Cameroon, and for me it was also, I know so little, yeah. And then it's really to get into contact, learn about cybersecurity and beyond. I can promise it was so enriching besides. But we have to see, we suffer from the same topics or the same challenges, and let's see how do they do it on a different continent, how do they approach it, and what can we bring, what can we share, and how can we benefit, as it's really a global topic.
Schreib dir das auf die Festplatte.
And now, with all the results, what are your 3 specific practical tips for small and medium companies to better integrate this culture into cyber defense?
Okay, so the first thing is that we highlight is that culture is important and it cannot be ignored in this field. So it is important that companies or small and medium enterprises integrate culture into their cybersecurity training. And once they recognize the role of culture, they can start offering intercultural training to their cybersecurity teams or IT teams in general, as well as to their leaders. So this will enable the staff who are mainly coming from technical backgrounds to gain some cross-cultural competences and be aware of how people from different cultures may react to certain defined policies, right? The second thing is they should adapt their cultural training to the to cultural norms that influence the organizations. So take, for example, a company that is operating all over the world. So in Switzerland, in Cameroon, in United States, they cannot adopt the same policies or the same way of running training programs everywhere. They have to be aware that if they're operating in a high-power distance country, they're the leader of providing the cybersecurity policies must take the front seat in order to ensure that people actually follow. So they have to adapt according to the norms of the country where they operate. And the last recommendation is to create an intercultural advisory board. This is very important in order to ensure that the cultural aspects are being considered when defining cybersecurity policies. Without such a cultural board or intercultural advisory board, then again, these cultural aspects will be ignored when defining cybersecurity policies.
Yeah, very important point. Yeah, and what's next now? You said it before. Mm-hmm. What are your plans for the future?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Bettina already highlighted something, which is the Swiss Africa Cybersecurity Committee. It's really highly talked, not only in our teams, but we also attend some conferences where we try to spread. And for example, we'll be attending the Swiss Africa Business Day tomorrow, where we'll also talk about it. So here we are bringing together like 5 African partners and 5 Swiss partners. And it's really applied because we have increasing discussions beyond just cybersecurity, right? So we're excited about this, and we are now in our pilot phase. And here we have our workshops rolling out. And these workshops are not only for the partners. They are very open for students, for other professionals as well that want to join. We have 6 workshops planned. One was held today. The next one on cryptography agility will be...
My topic.
Oh, great. So you're welcome to attend. This will be held in July. Mm-hmm. And then Emergence of Cyber Attacks Case Study Cameroon by our partner in Cameroon University of Boya. And then there will be others by Isaka and also Hot Ecole Arc. These topics have not been defined yet, but certainly once they are defined, we would publish them on our website. And again, we are going to run a research activity, which how do educational programs, the people's choice of educational programs, influence their cybersecurity awareness. So this topic will be researched by some of our African partners in Cameroon and in University of Ibadan in Nigeria. And then we will still run the same case in Switzerland again in order to have like a comprehensive study. So we have a lot in our pot.
It sounds great. Yeah.
And at the end of our project, which is next year, we plan on building a sustainable community. So we don't see this as something that will end in March 2026, but it would go beyond. And besides FHNW, the other partners are showing interest. So definitely, this is the Swiss Africa community, cybersecurity community, has come to stay. So we're excited about that.
Yeah, and we hope that other companies, countries will join this program. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Maybe because we're also in talks with South Africa, for example. So this, we have, I think there are already partners there, right? Not directly in the community, but FHNW has some partners there. So these are partners that can also join our community. Yes.
Yeah, we really perceive like such a network effect. Yeah, that the more we do outreach, we see that there is a wish for collaborating, reaching out, and getting more in contact between African countries and Switzerland. Mm-hmm. And so this is also why we approached you, because we said, okay, now we stick a bit in the academia bubble. Mm-hmm. Let's say we have academic publications, but we do not want to stay there. We want to reach out. And so this is why we also get to this African Business Day, Swiss African Business Day, why we also want to approach a business community via other channels. And it should be really something living, process with our community and staying there. Yeah.
Yeah, I will add all the dates and the information in the show notes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you for your time. Very interesting. I hope we can work further on this, that you get new countries, new companies. It's very interesting, and I wish you all the best for your program. Thank you.
Thank you, Andreas. Thank you.
Und schön warst du auch heute wieder mit dabei. Falls du es noch nicht gemacht hast, bitte abonnieren. Wir freuen uns natürlich auf dein Feedback, gerade zu diesem speziellen Thema. Bis zum nächsten Mal. Tschüss.
Angriffslustig. IT-Sicherheit für dein Unternehmen. Der Security-Podcast der GoSecurity.
Wie schütze ich mich vor Cyberkriminellen?
Welche Passwörter sind sicher?
Und was kann passieren, wenn ich gehackt werde?
Bleib dran, abonniere jetzt den Podcast. Mehr Antworten gibt es in den nächsten Folgen mit Andreas Wiesler und Sandro Müller. Weitere Updates und Tipps auf gosecurity.ch.